There's a lot of conflict in this world we live in, and there, man, we see it all the time. You watch the news, and it's just conflict, conflict, conflict. It seems like even in the workplace, and I'm kind of not in the workplace anymore as far as our secular place, but when I was working full time, and this seemed like there was always some kind of conflict. There was always conflict. Most of us, we don't enjoy conflict though, do we? I mean, I don't know. I think some people thrive on drama. You ever notice that? There's just some people, it's like if there's no drama going on, something's wrong. And so they'd stir up something just so there's drama. I guess there may be some people who like conflict. I don't like conflict myself in life. I've seen too much of it, and I try to avoid it at all cost. Sometimes it's unavoidable, though. This conflict in our lives we don't enjoy, especially when it affects our lives directly. When we see conflict on TV, we can just turn it off or change the channel. But sometimes it's in our lives directly, and then you can't just turn the channel. You have to deal with it. I simply want to avoid those situations at all costs. And often it is within uncomfortable situations, though, that we find our deepest levels of faith. We find most people come to Christ during a crisis moment. During chaos in their life, that's where they find God. That's why I think most Christians have a hard time, though, sharing their faith with people. The Christians are often unprepared when it comes time to share their faith with other people, and they feel intimidated. There's lots of opportunities that come for us to witness and evangelize to those, but to tell someone the truth about Jesus, who he is and who he was, and to tell them the good news of the gospel sometimes seems so hard for people. Sometimes we're more concerned about the conflict that may bring. Sometimes we open up our mouths and either nothing comes out or we stumble over our words. I'm not alone in that. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't know what to say. I had a person this last week that I asked him, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I asked him how they were doing. And they said, "Oh, we're doing fine." And they grew up in church, and all that. And I said, "So, how are you doing?" And they said, "Oh, we're fine. Well, we're converting to Judaism." I was like taken back by that statement because that's the reality of that is they're denying Christ's resurrection. That means there is no salvation for them if they choose to do that. That's a big choice right there. To deny Christ and to, that took me back. I was kind of like, I went home and I told Leanne about it. I was like, at that moment, I kind of stumbled around and I was like, I'd really like to talk with you about that. I really wanted to say, that means you're choosing hell over heaven. That's kind of where I was thinking, and I wanted to say that, and maybe the Holy Spirit's like, no, save that for another time. But was I more concerned about the conflict at that moment than I was about actually speaking the truth? I'm just sharing myself openly here. Making disciples or evangelizing is not easy, even for pastors or even for, it's not all that easy sometimes sharing your faith. I think too many of us are unable to speak about who Jesus really is and why it is important to be in a real relationship with him. If that we have a hard time with that, but if we believe the truth of the words given to us by God in the Bible, if we believe Jesus is the only way of salvation, and if we believe salvation is the free gift given to all who place their faith and trust in Jesus, then part of being a Christian involves sharing the truth of who Jesus is with others. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? Is it not? You know, we have a message of hope. Amen. We have a message of love. Amen. We have a message of eternal consequence, though. And yet, many will remain silent about their faith. You know, sharing Jesus with others is a proof of a true relationship with Jesus. I'm going to share a very familiar scripture this morning. One that seems like some people might say, well, we've kicked that mule too many times. But really, it was the last command that Jesus gave, and it was the most important. It's in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Most important thing Jesus ever told his disciples was to do what? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he says also, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I like this translation here because it says this, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I like this. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Even at Walmart. Jesus calls us to be active participants in sharing our transformed life with those around us. Amen? Being a disciple of Jesus is more than just showing up to church for a couple hours on a Sunday if it fits into your schedule. It's more than that. Being a disciple of Jesus requires more from us than just going to church. God is meant to have the central place in our daily lives. Not just on Sunday. Not just once in a while when we have time. Being a disciple of Jesus is more than just reading your Bible once in a while or praying when you need something, like a new car sitting in the driveway. It requires a real relationship with the God who loves you very much. Being a disciple or discipleship and evangelism is the way that we show that we believe in Jesus. Do you know that? It's the way people around us know that who we really follow and who we believe in is the way we act, the way we talk, the way we, who we are. Who we profess. We believe in his resurrection. Amen. We're going to celebrate that here in just a few weeks. We've been talking, last week I talked about why did Jesus do what he did, and this message just goes along with that. We believe in his resurrection. We believe in his works. We believe in his words, and we believe in his life. His commands we believe in too. We believe in his commissions, and we take them seriously. Hear me. Go into all the world was not a suggestion to the church. It was like, okay, Peter, okay, guys, I got to leave. You can't go with me. Go and make disciples and teach them. Go do what I did. Go make disciples. Go share your faith. Go tell them what I did for you. What I did for you. See, this was after the resurrection. So it was like, I'm not telling you what I'm going to do. Go tell him what I already did. Amen. Did Jesus do something in your life? Has Jesus changed you in your life? Share that. That's the message that we have. Jesus changed my life. I may not look different on the outside. I'm losing hair. I'm starting to join that crowd. You know, he's healing me. I don't have hair issues as much as I used to. And one of these days, I'll be completely healed. Like Robert. Good grief, but God has done so much in my life. And how can I not tell that to everybody that I meet? How can I not tell them? Jesus, though, commands us. He, as a Christian, we need to take the discipleship and evangelism seriously, because it proves that we take Jesus seriously. Do you take Jesus seriously in what he says? Who he was, what he did? Jesus commands us, his disciples. Who's his disciples? Anybody that believes and is saved, right? You're a disciple. Sorry. You're an evangelist too. All right. That's all of us that are believers. You become this evangelist and you take it serious. You are his witnesses to speak, to witness, to testify of the good news of Jesus Christ and his saving power. Whatever you want to call it, I can say that. Choosing to share the gospel is an essential part of our life as a Christian. You look at the word evangelize, comes from the Greek word of euangelion. I can't say Greek very well. It's hard to say sometimes. But the meaning is bringing the good news or the gospel. That's what it means. Evangelize, share the good news. Bring the good news. You have good news to share? Who has good news to share this morning? Amen? Good news. Have you ever given that good news to somebody? I didn't see a show of hands right there. Maybe I shouldn't ask that. Have you ever shared your faith? Have you ever shared the gospel? Have you ever shared the good news of what Jesus did in your life with somebody? I think it's a good feeling when you share or when you bring good news to somebody who really needed to hear it. Isn't it? Doesn't it make you feel good? You ever read a good book or watched a good movie? You want to share it, don't you? You really do. You want to tell your friends about it. And I have that happen often. I have people, they'll message me, man, you got to read this book. It's so good. Matter of fact, I just gave one to Jim Hammer just the other night. I was like, Jim, you got to read this book or listen to it. It's on Audible too, but you got to listen to it. You know, sometimes you like to share a good deal that you got on something that you bought and you're excited to tell them where you got it. I mean, yeah. Or if you go to a really good restaurant, I hear this all the time. You do the same thing. People like to share what restaurant they ate at. Like a restaurant in Evansville that Lee and I ate at called Bonefish. Yeah, it's a really good restaurant. Had one of the best waitresses. She was amazing. I'm telling you, it's called Bonefish in Evansville. It's a good place to eat. This waitress knew the menu better than any waitress I've ever met in my life. She was really good. So I can testify. It's a good place to eat in Evansville. It's great food. Left there miserable. Why do we continue to go to places like that? And then we share it with everybody else. We go in there and we eat too much, and then we leave miserable. Seems like church is like that sometimes for some people. That was church. Oh, it was awful. We're all doomed for hell. It seems like that seems to be the story, you know, sometimes. Some people, that's the way they perceive our Christian life. That's why they need to hear the good news. The good news. Because it doesn't have to be miserable, right? It doesn't have to be that way. What about when you tell others just how good that book or movie or food was? Don't you really care for somebody when you do that, don't you? You don't even care if they disagree with you. Well, I ate there and I didn't have good service. And you're like, well, I'm just telling you, I had one of the best meals ever, right? You may go there and get the worst service. I don't know that. You may have a different experience. I don't even give it a second thought about telling people some of that stuff. But yet when it comes to our faith, we hesitate. When it comes to what Jesus did in our life, sometimes we're hesitant because we might find conflict. Or even worse, sometimes it doesn't even cross our mind to share our faith. I think many Christians seem to be scared of witnessing or evangelizing, and some are hesitant about sharing the truth of Jesus with someone else because they're really over-focused on what other people may think or what or how it will affect their life or their relationship with that person. Because let me tell you, you'll lose relationships when you start sharing your faith. I hate to tell you that. There'll be people that were your friends that won't be your friends any longer when you find salvation. We're not told to recruit people to a religion. We're told to lead people to a personal relationship with the living God. I'll explain it maybe a little bit. Religion is something that we try to really stay away from because religion was written by man and for man. It's man's agenda. It's man's idea. And religion will never get anyone into heaven. And that's what Jesus faced when he came to this earth. He faced the Pharisees. The Sadducees, he faced religion. The not so secret about evangelism is just sharing with others what you personally have experienced in your relationship with Jesus Christ. John Wesley said, it's hard to share an experience that you've never had with someone about Jesus that can give or grant an experience. Does that make sense? Should I say that again? It's hard to share your faith if you've never experienced God in your life. You don't need to make big shows of it. You don't have to be the most educated theologian there is to share your faith. You just have to tell them about what Jesus did in your life. Just like the guy that was blind from birth, and I've shared this a couple of times. He was blind from birth, and Jesus healed his eyes. And then they brought him in. They're like, what happened to you, and who did this? And he's like, do you follow Jesus? He's like, I don't know who the guy is. I just know I was blind, and now I can see. That was his testimony. I don't know. I just know I was like this, but now I'm like this. That was his testimony. That's a great testimony. I think many of us were blind once, and now we can see. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing Grace, a beautiful song written by a lady who was blind. It's an amazing story. The best witness or evangelism is when you can share some of your own feelings about Jesus with others who also need him. If you're asked a question, you know, I say this. If somebody asks you a question and you don't know, just tell them, I don't know, but I'll look it up and find out. Or you can do this. You can just ask them to come to church. They might find the answer there. They might feel honored if you tell them, I'd feel honored if you just come to church with me. So I'm going to ask you this. Who have you invited to church this week? Did you invite somebody? Did you purposely call somebody and say, hey, I'd love for you to come to church with me? You can come. Have you invited somebody? Who is it that you really need to encourage to come? There's somebody in your life and there's somebody on your heart that you really need to encourage to come to church. So I've got a challenge for you here. My challenge is, after the service, will you go home and pray and then ask somebody to come to church next week? Will you pray about that person this week? And I guarantee you, expect God to do something. Don't just pray and say, well, they'll probably never come. Pray and say, God, I really need you. I expect God to do something. I hope you came to church this morning expecting God to do something. Get up, it's a Sunday. We get to gather together and worship together and lift up his name and praise the Lord. And I was excited about coming to church this morning. I love coming, meeting with the praise group. We get to play, and sometimes we get carried away, and especially at night when we were goofing around and playing, and 3 hours later, we're still goofing around. But man, I want you to remember, asking somebody to come to church is not just asking them to attend church. It's an invitation to worship with you. You never know, that person may leave with a new heart, with a new life, with a new transformed life, with something new in their heart. We have to invite with a heart that is truly concerned about a person's eternal life. If it's done for any other reason, then it becomes just a sales pitch. Come to my church because it's a beautiful church. Come to my church because they got comfortable chairs. Come to my church because we have nice people. Come to my church because we have a good-looking bass player. Well, Sarah wanted me to add that. That didn't come from me. No. Amen. 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 Yeah. I actually replaced that because what I was going to say is, don't invite people because you have a good-looking preacher. Because we know that's not true. Invite because you want people to experience the saving power of Jesus Christ just like you did. Amen? That's what we want. That's our desire. Why do people need to hear about Jesus? That's the question. Is that a question in your mind? I know why. Because they need to be saved. Amen? Humans are stubborn, though. You know that? We're stubborn. We are totally focused on ourselves most of the time. It's all about me. And I mean, Toby Keith, he's gone on now, but Toby Keith even wrote a song. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one in my life, what I want, what I think, what I want to do. We're not talking about anybody else. We're going to talk about me. And that's what most people's focus is. It's not about bringing people to church because we want to see them get saved. You think that's the way God intended it to be? Matter of fact, in this book I shared with Jim, the writer writes about John Wesley's thoughts and the movement, the Wesleyan movement. And in the book, it highlights a place where the church started going backwards, and it said it almost halted in its growth. It's when they took the focus off evangelism and discipleship and started putting it on education and higher learning, and started focusing on getting doctors and lawyers and building pretty churches and bigger churches and all that kind of stuff. And we have some of those churches on around our communities, these big old beautiful structures with stained glass windows and all that. And the focus went off of evangelizing people who needed Jesus to just having a big pretty church with lots of people in it. I think God intended us to be perfect, though, when he created us. That's the way he originally wanted it. Ever since Adam and Eve caused mankind to fall from God's grace, God has been working to reconcile us with him. And God has always used, if we think about the Old Testament, God has always used blood sacrifices in covering our sins, because those sins have to have something to die before God can recognize us. And in the Old Testament, the blood came from bulls and goats and animals, but that had to be repeated throughout a person's life over and over and over again. And in the New Testament is where we find the blood came from God's only Son, and that was Jesus Christ. And his atoning sacrifice was once and for all. Amen. Why did he do what he did right there? Most people have not yet repented and are still very far from God. And in Isaiah 53, we're told that all of us have gone astray. All of us have gone astray. And Paul speaks about our rebellion against God. And since we have all gone astray and there's only one way back to God, we must be the ones who tell others so they can get back too. Hear me this morning. That's what evangelism is. And in Romans 5:10, Paul refers to us as God's enemies. And you might think that that's pretty strong language, but considering the way we kick God out of our lives, and many people have kicked God out of our communities, I think it's very accurate in its description. We have acted towards God without love and without respect. So how else can we say that we've acted but as enemies? You know, sadly, people today know very little about the Bible, and if anything, at all about the true God in heaven. They don't know about the plan of salvation he offers us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and it's our responsibility, church, to share that good news with everybody that we meet. People like, though, to customize the standards. We see this all the time. Many think that they're good people. And God surely wouldn't send good people to hell, but so people convince themselves that they can get to heaven on their own merit or by some other way, or judged by their own standards. But they customize God in their own standards, and they heap up teachers to teach in the way that makes them feel good so that they feel good about themselves. I went to church. I checked off the list. I went to church. I'm good to go. The problem with this is that we are judged by God's standards and not by man's standards. He has never brought down to our standards. Hear me. That is why people need to be evangelized too. We can choose to ignore all that. You can. You know, we have free will. We can choose, right? You chose to come to church today. You may regret it, but you chose to come to church today, right? You choose to follow Christ or not. You choose to share your faith or not. And there's many scriptures I can tell you about where, you know, Jesus leaves these examples about those who were given a little bit or those who were given a lot. And at the end of the day, the guy that buried his in the ground, he said, "What'd you do with it, with what I gave you?" "Well, I buried it." He didn't share it. He didn't try to increase it. And he said, "You wicked person." Wow. Man, those are harsh words. That's from Jesus himself. It's a simple reflection of sharing your faith. That's an example of not sharing your faith or sharing your faith because Jesus has given you so much. What did he give you? Eternal life. We need to share that. We have our family members, our brothers, our sisters, our daughters, our sons, our mothers, our fathers, your friends, your co-workers. We have all these people in our life, and these are the people who need to hear the truth. These are the people who need to be, not need to be impressed with how well you know your Bible. These people who simply need to know who Jesus is and what he means to you in your life. What are we missing today? I read an article about the Gen Zers. Man, they're horrible people. No, just kidding. No. Their biggest problem with the church was there is no passion in the church anymore. And that's what I read. I've read that over and over again. I'm like, wow, I've heard that before. People don't see passion in the church. Well, what I say is I don't mean in the building. I mean from people who are Christians who live outside the church. There's no passion for the church. There's no sharing of their faith. There's no, "I'm a Christian. Well, let me tell you why. God did something amazing in my life." Man, I can remember Sister McCord. You couldn't get more passionate than that. She changed the room when she walked in the room. I don't care whether that was here in the church or it was at Walmart or Burger King or wherever she went. She changed the atmosphere of the room because she went in that room sharing her faith to everybody that was in that room. And if you hadn't been at church in a while, let me tell you, you was going to hear about it. "Hey, I haven't seen you." And it wasn't in a rude, mean way. It was all, "Hey, I love you. Haven't seen you in a while. I'd really love to visit with you." I got to work on that myself. You know, we need to be the same. You know, when we speak to people, God's with us. He says, "I'll give you the words to say." We got to trust him. We got to rely on the power of his Holy Spirit. But we also have to share our faith because sharing our faith honors God. When we share our faith, it honors his command. It honors him with what he asked us to do. And do you love somebody enough to not hide the truth from them? Do you love somebody enough to tell them about Jesus? I think we should look just as forward to sharing our faith and our experience with Jesus because we love people as anything else in the world. It should be our priority. Let me say that to share your story of Jesus with somebody, you need something first, though. You need to have your own story with Jesus to share. And I could ask you this morning, do you have that story? Do you have that story this morning? Have you taken the opportunity to really ask God to forgive you for being rebellious against Him? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life and save you? Jesus says this, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and whoever comes to me comes to the Father. It's not enough just to try to be good. It's not enough just to come to church. We need to give ourselves to Jesus. And we do that every day. As Paul said, I get up every day and I die out to myself every day. And I would say, don't leave here today. Today you can do something about that. You can choose Jesus this morning. Before you leave here, you can choose Jesus. And maybe you've been spiritually, you know, complacent for a while, I would say that. Just let the power of the Holy Spirit fill you again. Rekindle a flame in your heart. Today you can do something about that. Today you can also help someone to know the truth about Jesus and His place in your life. So I would say, go and tell somebody the good news of Jesus. Don't hesitate. Share your testimony. Invite somebody to church. You never know when they may leave new and changed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this great group of people. Lord, as we prepare for a young lady who has asked me several times about being baptized, and if somebody would come and help her, as she goes back, I'd appreciate that. Irene's asked me multiple times. And Lord, I know that Lord, You said all that call upon Your name shall be saved. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for Irene. Lord, that this be a special moment in her life. Lord, I pray that somebody here today may find new faith in You. They may leave better than they came. Somebody may be rekindled today with a fire burning in their heart to share their testimony and their faith about what God has done for them. We do this all for Your glory and honor. And I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.